Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to I Got a Vent on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Denny Griffin, and for the next half hour, I'll be talking about politics. And tonight I'm going to get into a few things I want to get off my chest. I want to start out with Sarah Palin and the media. And I really find the treatment of Governor Palin by the media almost unbelievable. It's very repulsive. Most surveys I've seen since she was named as the VP nominee indicate that the people of this country believe the coverage has been very negative. When I think of some of the things that we have reason to believe Barack Obama has been involved with, such as the Reverend Wright terrorist, Bill Ayers and his wife, and so forth, to see the way the media is pouncing on Governor Palin for, you know, that her husband had a DWI arrest and conviction 20-some years ago, that her daughter was pregnant, and some of the real fringe left-wingers and their attacks are just truly incredible. I've noticed recently it seems to be backing off somewhat, and I think perhaps these individuals are finally getting the idea that they may be doing their cause and their candidate, Obama, more harm than good with the vicious and unreasonable attacks on Governor Palin. And I certainly have no problem with discussing issues with her or about her, her voting record or whatever she's done in office and so forth. But some of these things are just really ridiculous. And I'm hoping that they're coming to an end, that the current trend holds, and that we move on to other things. And that brings up the whole issue for me of the media, so-called mainstream media. The TV networks, I believe, the three major networks, broadcast networks, are all primarily Obama supporters. They would like to see him win the election. NBC, I believe, is the most obvious with their coverage. And their MSNBC, with Chris Matthews, is almost a joke. I think Matthews has once said he gets a tremble up his thigh or something when he hears Obama speak. And one of their other anchors, Keith Olbermann, he's really out there. I mean, I don't know how this guy has a job, but he's really, I consider, a very far fringe lefty, and somehow he manages to stay employed. I don't quite understand that. But as I was thinking about the upcoming election and about the media in general and their treatment of Governor Palin, I really got more motivated to vote. I was going to vote for McCain anyway, but I was not particularly enthusiastic about it. I have problems with him in a few areas. I'm not going to go into them here, but he wasn't my dream candidate. But when I looked at Obama, I couldn't in good conscience vote for Obama, and staying home would be almost the same thing, sitting out the election. So I was committed to vote for Senator McCain anyway. When he picked Governor Palin, I liked the idea. I liked what I've heard about her so far. And I think the media treatment of her has got me even more fired up or in her corner. So I like that. And I think the media now has become almost a separate issue for me. I think it's time that we send the message, the voters, to the media, the so-called mainstreamers, that we're not quite as stupid as they would like to think we are. They have placed themselves in a position that I don't think they necessarily want to report the news. They have their own agenda to promote. And they make the news or slant the news to suit their own purposes and own ends. And if they and the Hollywood elites who are, you know, fundraiser after fundraiser for Senator Obama and so forth, the Alec Baldwin types and the Streisands and these people, Michael Moore, if through their support, if they feel that through their support, Senator Obama wins the election and they can claim some responsibility for it, I think that's handing them a victory. And as afraid as I am of what Obama would do to the country, I really don't want to give those people, the media or the Hollywood celebs, a victory. So just as much as I want to see Obama defeated, I want to see them defeated too. And if McCain and Palin are able to win this election, I think that's going to send a message to the media and the Hollywood lefties as well that they haven't quite taken control of this country yet, that their access through their either print or aired comments and slanted coverage, or all their money and name recognition for the Hollywood types who get access to cameras and access to microphones at will. I think this would represent a McCain victory, a defeat for them, and to me, I would relish that as much as I would seeing Obama and all his socialist ideas for us turn back for at least another 4 years. So to me, this is even more important now than it was a few weeks ago prior to the Palin nomination and this feeding frenzy the media went into. And I'm looking forward now to voting. It's not going to be a case of showing up and kind of holding my nose to vote. I'm really excited to get to the polls, and I'm going to do something. I'm not saying I'm going to go out door to door to try to get out the vote, but I am going to try to take some people to the polls with me, or make sure they get to the polls, people I know. And I hadn't planned to even do that before. I was just going to kind of go myself so I could have a, if Obama did get in, I could say, well, don't blame it on me, I voted. But I'm now, the Palin thing and with the media and my total contempt for the mainstream media and the Hollywood gang, I'm more committed now to this election and trying to do a little more to see McCain and Palin win. Now, another area that I guess we're probably all aware of right now is the financial crisis, the Wall Street crisis. And as we're speaking, there apparently are more meetings and sessions going on, get-togethers on Capitol Hill, trying to hammer out some kind of a deal. I've heard varying reports. Some say they're very, very close to a deal. Others say there are still some major snags. And so I don't know where this will end up. I'm assuming that they're going to pass something. I don't think doing nothing is a real alternative. So I'm expecting something prior to Monday will come out. I understand they want to get this thing done before the stock markets open on Monday morning, because if there's no resolution in place, it could have a real bad effect on the stock market. So I'm expecting something to happen. Exactly what, I don't know. Excuse me. And that, of course, raises the issue of whether John McCain did the right thing by suspending his campaign. And my understanding of the situation is that if there are still negotiations in progress on tomorrow and going into tomorrow night and the weekend, that he probably is not going to go to the debate in Mississippi. And whether that's going to be a sign of leadership and something the people of the country will say, hey, he is indeed a maverick, and so on and so forth. And especially if they're not, if he is not supporting the president's proposal and is fighting that and wants changes made, I think that might take away a little bit of Obama's argument that McCain would be a third Bush term, that they would march in lockstep and so on and so forth. It's been pretty obvious over the years that hasn't been true, but it's been one of the prime things that the Obama campaign is pushing, is a McCain victory would be a third term of George Bush, George W. So how that will play out if he ends up not showing up at the debate and Obama does and they, you know, show the empty chair or something on the television screen, I don't know how that would play. And I don't know. I'm assuming that McCain's doing what he thinks is right, putting country first. At least I think that's what he's trying to show. Now, the Democrats, of course, are claiming this is a political stunt. Yeah. And obviously they're going to say that. They're not going to say it was a brilliant move on his part. So they're saying it was a political stunt and there's no need for it. And they should be able to walk and chew bubblegum at the same time. And who knows how that'll play out. We're going beyond this after the weekend, when I believe something will probably, some type of a deal will be in place. My hope is that an investigation is done, not looking necessarily for criminal activity, but an investigation is done that addresses, in addition to how the companies were run and the CEOs and so forth, these companies are going belly up and have to be bailed out, but the role of our elected officials, House members and senators in Washington, and what they did or didn't do in regard to this whole mess. What role did they play in allowing the situation to get where it is today, that we're in this kind of a spot? And I don't know if such an investigation will happen. I'm hoping that once they get the so-called bailout drafted and passed and signed by President Bush and so forth, that and everybody can take a breath for a few minutes, then someone will have the nerve to say, okay, let's look at how we got there. How did this come to pass? And if they find any criminal activity, fine. If they don't, so be it. But issue some type of report, maybe like the 9/11 report, that tells exactly what happened. This certainly should be bipartisan. And I think if any of the politicians were involved in wrongdoing, maybe not breaking the law and then a criminal situation, but poor judgment, some type of malfeasance, looking the other way, and I don't care which party it is, because that, my opinion is that once politicians get to Washington, and no matter what their intents were to begin with, when they were elected, how honorable their intentions were, that the way Washington works is that in a relatively short time, if they want to get the better assignments, the better committee assignments, and so forth, they have to bend to the leadership, whichever party it is, that they've got to go along if they want to get, have any future, go places, and eventually they're going to become corrupted by the system. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean in a criminal way, but they're going to fall in line and do what the leaders tell them to do. And if enough information comes out, and I think it would if a thorough investigation were done about these guys getting sweetheart deals, campaign contributions, and all this kind of thing, it might even resurrect some interest in term limits. Now, a few years ago, when there was an attempt made to enact term limits, I was in favor of it. And I know one of the big arguments at the time was, geez, you can't do that because look at the good officials, good elected officials we get in Washington. And those good ones will be thrown out along with the bad. And they're going to be experienced and blah, 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 and, you know, probably just hitting full stride when their two terms or whatever the limit would have been is up. They're going to be forced out. And I can understand the point there. I can understand the argument. But I think that overall, the number, the percentage of these people that end up when they're in these jobs for a lifetime career, I think there's more bad apples. Again, maybe not criminals, but take a lax attitude, get into that Washington lifestyle and so forth, and that... they're not going to be really doing the people's business after a while. My only thought is how bad will they get? And again, there are a few good ones. I don't think there's a whole lot of them, but there might be a few that would deserve it, but that's just the way it is. But, you know, I know even if we have this investigation and there's Congress's role in the financial crisis and people get ticked off, the voters of this country, we'd be asking the very people we want to curtail their careers to be the ones to push for it and get anything passed. And I realize that's a very tough order. So I was thinking, well, in lieu of that, if that's almost unreasonable, could we do something else? Is there any other way to make these people where they are less powerful and would be less beneficial to have in the pockets of some of these businesses or groups, special interest groups and so forth? And I was thinking, and I haven't researched this, but I'm assuming that Congress itself, in its own rules, I'm not talking about a constitutional amendment now, I'm just talking about what they could do in-house, that maybe they could set a limit on chairmanships. It seems to me the chairman of these various committees are the likely targets, most beneficial targets, for the special interests to take control of or have great influence over. And let's just take currently the Chris Dodd's name has come up quite a bit. And apparently he was the top receiver of money from these very institutions he was supposed to be overseeing. And I heard not too long ago that, in fact, I guess when Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were the problems, how serious they were first coming to light, is that he got some kind of a sweetheart loan deal from them, a VIP treatment, I think they call it, something that none of us could have, average citizens could have got. So, what if you could only be chairman of a committee, a specific committee, for let's say 2 years or 3 years, and then you had to move on? And I know people say, well, wait a minute, I'm not going to go from being a chairman of a committee with all my seniority to suddenly going back to the bottom of the ladder. No, but there are all kinds of committees. What about a rotation? If you want that clout and whatever prestige and so forth of being a chairman, what if you went from banking, say, to telecommunications or whatever after this time limit was up? I'm thinking that perhaps if you only had 2 or 3 years as a chairman of that particular committee, the people involved and that came under the jurisdiction of your committee would be less apt to want to shell out a great deal of money to you if you weren't going to be there indefinitely to help them out. So that's just a thought. I don't even see that happening. I think it could be done. And unlike a constitutional amendment, it could be done relatively easily. But obviously there'd be resistance to it. I mean, the people are going to tell, okay, you've got a good deal where you are as chairman of committee so-and-so, and you want to be in that position for 8, 10, or 20, or 30 years or whatever, and be on the gravy train. I can understand they're not going to vote to impose limits on themselves. The only way that would happen, I think, is if there is a good, thorough, bipartisan investigation of this whole Wall Street issue and a very candid report of what happened, how we got to where we are, this dire emergency, and the public, the voters, the people who actually get off their rear ends and vote, become so enraged at what they hear that they email, protest, what have you, make enough noise, sign petitions, almost like with this drilling, offshore drilling thing. That generated a lot of interest in the public, because when people realized they were paying $4 or $4.50 a gallon for gasoline, it suddenly became less important about whether you're registered Democrat, Republican, or independent. We all had to go to the same gas stations, and we all had to shell out the big bucks. And now that it's down, it stops on the, my area, is 360 or 365, they still ain't cheap. I mean, it's not better than 415, which is what it got up to, but it's still a pretty penny. And then whatever it does too to the other goods, food and so forth, with increased transportation costs. And if people get as upset about the politicians and their failure to act or taking actions that benefit certain special interests to our detriment, maybe that would be sufficient public outrage to get some changes made. If these birds find that their constituents are so enraged that they're ready to march on Washington, and their phones are ringing off the hook, and their emails are causing their computers to crash, their systems to crash, then maybe that would get enough attention that we could get something done, something to protect us, the taxpayers, from corrupt or incompetent politicians. And the more I think about that, I actually believe it could be done fairly easily. And I think if people get upset enough, there's an outside chance we could get something done. So those are my two main issues tonight: the media and the Hollywood people, and sending them a message. I hesitate to use that term, so I remember the O.J. Simpson trial and Johnny Cochran telling the jurors about sending a message. But at any rate, that's basically what it would be, is letting the media and Barbara Streisand and her gang know that their opinions really don't mean a whole hell of a lot. They're no smarter than we are, than the common folks. No smarter than we are. And just because we see their names on the TV screens or in movie credits and so forth, that doesn't necessarily mean we're going to bend over and grab our ankles when they speak. I would love to see that. And some of these reporters, I'm not going to get into specific names, anybody who watches these newscasts and so forth, you know what I'm talking about. I'd love to see them the morning after the election, if McCain, Palin pull it off, because I'm sure they will be in an absolute state of shock. How could they, how could their man, Obama, with all their support and all their coverage and negative coverage and attacks and smears and all this stuff, how could their man possibly lose? And maybe they'd have to look in the mirror and say, wait a minute, maybe we aren't quite as important, quite as influential, quite as big a deal as we thought we were. And I would certainly love that. And back to my term limit or chairmanship term limit comments. A little bit I've seen so far on the tube and on the internet and so forth about the political aspect of this. I've seen some tapes of statements made by Arnie Frank. for several years, the Republicans, it happened to be the Republicans, have brought up the fact that these places were running amok and were just getting too big, and there was a substantial risk of a major financial crisis developing. And each time there was an attempt to push some type of reform through, it happened to be the Democrats, the Chris Dodds and the Barney Franks, blocked it, the Chuck Schumers. So I think they need to be held accountable. And again, I'm not saying they did anything criminal. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. That would have to require, I'm sure, a thorough investigation of their finances and all that kind of stuff, and who the hell knows where that would lead. But just as a matter of the idea that they didn't do their job. I mean, these guys got fairly decent salaries and perks, expenses and all that kind of stuff, to represent the people, do what's best for us. And when they get so entrenched and so powerful that they don't give a rat's rear end about us, it's all about them, and we get treated more or less like idiots, that we're supposed to just buy into everything they tell us without question and say, oh, well, he's a congressman or a representative, or he's a senator, or she is. So obviously they got to be telling the truth, and, you know, they're our servants, and they're our servants, all right. And people who say, okay, we don't need term limits on their terms in office because we got the best term limits in the world, remedies in the way the voting booth. We vote them out. Well, that sounds good, and yes, it is a remedy. I mean, yes, they could be voted out, but what's the odds of that happening? These people get entrenched. They bring that pork home to their constituents, and remember, they all get voted on locally. I mean, they're in a certain state, or and we can't nationwide, we can't control. We have no control over whether Nancy Pelosi, me here in upstate New York at the moment, have no control whether Nancy Pelosi gets reelected this year. Yes, she's the Speaker of the House. She decides what legislation comes up and so on. So these things to me are very important, that we do something and not rely solely on them getting voted out of office, because I think that's a very long shot. Anyway, I feel much better now. I've gotten a lot of this off my chest, and time is running out. So I'll schedule another show when I get fed up again, and I'm sure with the elections rapidly approaching, that will not be all that long. And as the campaign and the ads get more vicious and so on, there'll be a lot more to talk about. So anyway, if anybody has any comments about my thoughts, agree, disagree, what have you, please send me an email. And let me know. You can reach me at Griff, G-R-I-F-F, 1945@hotmail.com. Just in the subject line, put politics or BTR show or something like that. Again, that's Griff, G-R-I-F-F, 1945@hotmail.com. I'd like to hear from you. Just please be civil. And I'll respond the same way. Okay, thank you very much. Until next time, have a great one. Bye-bye.